who are amongst you, I exhort and beseech, I, who am also a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, who also will share with you the coming glory to be revealed. I exhort you, elders, shepherd the flock of God which is amongst you, taking careful, loving oversight thereof, not because you have to, but willingly, according to God. Not for the sake of money, but freely, joyfully, not as overlords of those for whom you are caring, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you will receive, you will realize the indestructible crown of eternal glory. In the name of Jesus, our good shepherd. A story comes to us from the Middle Ages about a certain bishop, how he served his flock in England. During the plague, historians often call that plague the Black Death. And they also tell us that this plague decimated, killed, even up to half of the population in England and elsewhere. This particular bishop was serving his flock day and night, not resting, having hardly any time to eat, day after day, as he comforted those who were fearful, as he went to the bereaved and held before them the joy of eternal life. And day after day, for weeks, he was bearing up to as many 6 bodies a day. No rest, no sleep, exhausted, but still carrying on. Finally, 2 or 3 of his nobles came to him and urged him to rest. You're going to drop. And one suggested, come to my manor house. It's out in the country. Get away from the city. That's where the plague is at its worst. But the bishop said, no, I can't leave my flock. Even at the risk of my own life. Well, finally, the plague did touch him. And as he was on his deathbed, some of his remaining flock had gathered around him, and they were weeping and shedding tears. And the last word that he said, according to the story, was to them, don't cry over me, don't shed tears, but rather rejoice. For that gentle shepherd, who of late has been coming to our brothers and sisters to call them to the heavenly fold, has deigned to come to me this night to call me to himself. Rejoice, don't weep. What a passion this bishop exhibited for the souls of his flock. He sacrificed everything for that passion, even at the risk of his own life, and he did finally give his life, didn't he? Where did he receive such a passion for souls? Maybe we should first ask, shouldn't you and I have such a passion that we would lose sleep over someone in our neighborhood that doesn't know Christ, that we would go without food to go to the bereaved, that we would go without sleep, that would even risk our lives? Shouldn't we have such a passion also? But where does it come from? Not from ourselves, believe me, and you know that too, don't you? Left to our own devices, even as a pastor, a Christian layman, woman. Oh, yes, we'd have a passion, but only for ourselves, like a hireling. We wouldn't have a care for the sheep, not if we depended upon our old Adam and what it would have us to do, and how that is so prevalent often in our lives, isn't it? We would live only for ourselves, off of them. We would live for their applaud. We want to be a pastor. We want to have them to praise us for the sermons we preach and for the way we act as a pastor, all to our own acclaim and self-righteousness. Well, from such an egotistical, self-righteous heart, and that's what we're all like according to old Adam, believe me, and you know that as well as I do, a passion for souls would not come. From where does it come then? As we kneel before the cross, in shame over our sins, how we've denied him and betrayed him even, and lived only for ourselves. And when we see the horror of God's judgment over us, yes, we Christians deserve a horror judgment more than anyone else even, more than the unbelievers, because we know better. And we pastors especially deserve God's judgment. You remember the inspired author says, if the judgment begins with the house of God, you and me, where is it going to be for the unbelievers? When we realize how angry God is at us at times for the way we fail him and live for our own passion, for ourselves and not for others, and we kneel at the cross, oh God, in fear of your judgment, forgive us. And as we look to our wonderful Heavenly Father through what Jesus did for us at the cross, sealed by his resurrection, and now as our high priest representing us for the Heavenly Father touches us. My daughter, my son, get up. Your sins are forgiven. And we discover again, day by day, the love that moved the Heavenly Father to go to the ends of the earth, as it were, for one soul, for yours and mine. And we see the passion that our Lord Jesus exhibited for you and me. He leaves one, goes after one, leaves the 99. How he went after you and me in his passion, giving up everything, even his life, that we could enjoy God's mercy and love. And as we see that passion again for our souls exhibited by our Lord at the cross, at which he gained life and God's love for us and peace, a passion comes to us like unto that, that takes over our life, every breath, every action, every word, our whole soul, and we care for other people more than ourselves. But how do we exhibit such a passion? Paul gives us a wonderful example in Romans chapter 1. When God placed upon him, through the passion of his Lord, that love for souls, he recognized that he owed a debt. Romans 1, not to Christ. Oh yes, he owed his whole life to his Lord, yes. Lock, stock, and barrel. You owe me every breath, every action, every soul, every ounce of my life. But he recognized the Lord Christ had put a debt on him. You don't pay that back to me. I have paid that debt. You pay that debt to everyone who doesn't know me. I place this obligation on you that you spend your life, even unto death, bringing the wonderful peace of the cross of my love to them. So also you and I, you wonderful men and your wonderful wives, going out soon, others still here for another year or so. You owe a debt. I owe a debt. Not to yourselves, but we owe it to every last man, woman, and child that we can come in contact with that doesn't know the Christ, or people who do know Christ but are bereaving and sick and heart sick unto death. We owe them our lives, owe them everything we have to help comfort them in the news of the Good Shepherd. Are you willing to do that? Yes, you will. If the passion of the Lord Christ for your soul and for mine has taken over our lives, and you're going to have such a passion that you'll risk your life for it, give everything for it. And what an honor that God would so use us when we're most unworthy. But as he's clothed us in his blood and righteousness, so he clothes us also in this passion for souls. And then may I suggest as a model, a word that our Lord spoke while here on earth, no greater love can you show to someone than that you give your life for them. And as we do this, we become an icon of what our Lord did in giving his life for us. Such a passion. God grant it. Amen.